for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the three P's of the local church.
How many of you know me, know about me, know? Okay, all right, well, some of you are new. My name is Cheryl Batts. For the past 5 or 6 years, I've been a teacher here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I came from, Hot Springs actually is my home. I came from, returned home from Chicago, Illinois, where I'd spent 31 years raising my son, and The last 10 years or so I spent in the ministry with John Eckhart, where I was licensed and ordained. So I had a AME Baptist background based on my family experience and everything, and life took me in various roles and various directions where drugs and other things kind of took over, and I got lost there for a little while and had to find my way back. But it's a funny thing that when you are raised up in a household where, you know, people really love the Lord and you have a godly heritage, that somehow or another you come back. You know, you come back to that. You can never really truly get away. I always thought that I, you know, could kind of get away, but I could never really get away. I always came back to that. And I found out while I was there, too, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So the anointing of God that is on my life that I believe came through praying grandmothers on both sides of my family. And so everybody wasn't praying, you know, two grandmas were praying. So you always have a choice in life as to which direction you're going to go in. But these two women obviously were praying, and one I know did prophesy over my life before she died. And so it took a number of years, but I finally came into that place. And once I came in, I had an experience with a man that I thought was quote unquote the one. And he was good looking and he smelled good and all that other stuff, you know, that you're looking for when you're in the world. But how many of you know that when you are brought up in the church, you can get out in the world and you can find a man that's unsaved, but do you realize that you can only give to him that you've been taught to give when you're in the church, and that's like throwing pigs before the swine?
Yeah.
He didn't have a clue. Here I was loving him in a godly fashion, in a godly manner, but he was nowhere close to that. So it didn't matter what I did or what I didn't do. He was unable to understand the love that I had for him. And it taught me something that I've never forgotten in my walk. And as I listen to women, younger women talk, older women, that share with me about their lives and about their lifestyles and who they're with, and if I realize when I talk to them, as Doc said yesterday, get the history, a little bit of history, that you find out they've had a godly heritage. And they've married this guy who has not got a clue. They've gotten off, they've married him, they love him, but he hasn't got a clue. So they're loving him. So it's almost like having a 357 Magnum and, you know, and it's like, whoa, what's this? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's loving somebody that they don't really know how to love you back, because you're loving them the only godly way that you know. And they have not been taught all of those things. So in other words, they're ending up, they're going to use you. Because that's how their life is. That's what they know. They don't know the agape love that has been placed on the inside of you, and you are moving into that, and you're just loving with everything that you got. You're told, you know, in deception about how that's going to be. And when you wake up in the middle of it, as God will deal with you, and you begin to understand how God begins to operate, when you find yourself in that situation, you have to really dig in and get what I call a kingdom vision about the place where you are. And recognize that you're dealing with someone who doesn't know the gift that you are. And sometimes you can stay with that person. I've seen it happen. Young girls decide they're going to shack up. Their parents are pastors in the city, and they decide they're going to shack up with this guy. And there's a call on their life. The minute they get with the guy, everything breaks loose. No money, cars repossessed. They get thrown out of apartments. She gets pregnant. This goes wrong. That goes wrong. But before that, seemed like he was the one. A lot of times that I believe that what happens in those situations is that because there's a call on your life and because you love the Lord and you have chosen to set yourself in this place with an unbeliever, God, will all these things begin to happen to you to let you know you're in the wrong place, with the wrong place, wrong person, at the wrong time. Because nothing you do when the call of God is on your life is going to make that wrong situation right. It's not going to get right. It's going to go from bad to worse. It'll go from bad to worse. And I've seen that happen time and time again. And you know what? You really do that man or that woman a great in service, by staying with them. Because as they are mean to you, as they say ugly things to you, as they do bad things to you, what does the word of God say? Touch not my anointed one.
Yes, yes, yes.
So really by staying in that situation and in that position, you're actually causing the hand of God to move on this individual because they are touching the anointed one. You're really causing curses to just fall upon that individual just by even being there. Because number one, you're in fornication. You call it shacking, but you're fornicating. You know, that was a hard thing. I was in the middle of my bed crying out to the Lord. Trying to figure out, how did I get with the guy who's, at the time, they weren't using the term on the down low. How in the world did I fall in love with the man that was crazy about both men and women? How in the world did I get in this situation? But there I was, in that situation. And when I knew that God was going to bring me out, was when I sat up in the middle of my bed and I began to cry and I began to weep and I said, God, I am in, and it was like pulling something out of me from way deep down. I almost couldn't get it out. Fornication. And at that point it looked like to me all the walls, all of the deception. Everything began to crumble down around me, and I began to realize the position and the place that I was in. And I had to begin to shift. I had to begin to shift my life. I had to begin to shift my thinking. I had to begin to figure out, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this with my life? What do I do? And as God, in His grace and His mercy, it was like this veil lifted, walls fell down, and everything that I had been taught in church began to flood into my spirit. It was like I had been asleep, dead, drunk, all of that, really. Yeah, anesthetized. I mean, I was out of it, and I knew I had been out of it. Because, see, when I went in, my son was 3. When I came out, he was 20. It took that long for me to walk down that road and realize. But the grace and the mercy of God, because the calling of God on your life is not without repentance. Because I can remember sitting on a bar stool prophesying, drinking black Russians to the man sitting next to me. I can remember sitting there, because at that time I was a size 5, and I can remember sitting there with my boobs hanging out and my hair all long and smoking cigarettes and looking at him and drinking my black Russian, knowing I was cute because I had my own fashion troupe, and we traveled all around the city. I wore good clothes. I was doing it. I chose that. God said, fine. And as God began to bring me in, and as I began to, the word began to well up in my system, I felt so blessed, because at the time I did not realize how blessed I was. But do you realize that as I came out of that, because I had been so near to death, because this man, not only was he on the down low, but he also was a practicing warlock. And I was eating stuff. My son was eating stuff. And we were paying the price. I was close to death in a big way. So when I came out, you see, I had to come out. God brought me out, and he didn't bring me out 1, 2, 3. God brought me out 1, 7. Because if he had not brought me out 1, 7, I would not be here today. It was a quick hurry up kind of a thing. Because I didn't go over to the little AME Baptist church and nobody knew what to do for me. When I came out and went directly into John Eckhart's church and began to receive deliverance, where I stayed on the altar for 3 years in a row in my nice silk dresses, barfing up at every opportunity 3 to 4 times a week and making my way over to Hegwisch to sit under Wynn Wardley. So there was a quick step and a quick time that God did for me. And I believe if God did a quick step and a quick time for me in the late 80s, around 1986, I believe that now he's going a quick step and a quick time for those that he's bringing out now. Because if he was coming back then, he's surely coming back now, and we're even closer. So he's doing a quick work. So I'm always amazed at people when, because they don't know my background and they only see me here, that they think that this is the only place that I've been. And this is the only place that I've received deliverance. And if they haven't prayed for me, then I haven't been prayed for yet. But see, I spent 3 full years on my face. I was happy once I realized and I heard the voice crying out of me, "You cannot have her." When I heard this, and it was in my spirit that there was another half to this world that people had been trying to tell me about, and I began to sit still and begin to get the teachings, and I began to understand that there is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And then there's the kingdom of Satan.
That's right.
And that there are three voices that we hear at all times.
That's right.
The voice of God. The voice of the devil in my flesh.
Yeah.
After spending those 3 years barfing up at every opportunity, and the more I understood, and at that time, I can remember getting Jerry's book, Clearing the Land. And I can remember us taking the book and clearing the land. So I'm not speaking to you from a yesterday experience. I'm speaking to you from an experience that I lived and came through as early as 1986. See, when God got me back in line, it was February 14th, 1986. And I had pulled the dresser against my door, so you know who couldn't get in again. And he was walking down the hallway talking about, "Oh, it's too late, it's too late. She knows now, she knows it's too late, it's too late." So when you see me, and I make quick steps, or I get a little loud, or I get a little excited about deliverance, it's because of where I walked. It's where I came from.
Yes, amen. Yes, ma'am.
And so you can't sit under John Eckhart and the anointing that's on his life, not the man, but the anointing of God that's on his life, and then sit under Wynn Wardley and come out 10 years later and still be a Jezebel. I don't understand that thought process. Now, you may come out and still have some things that God is working on you on. Because, see, when you get under stress and pressure and things keep coming after you and coming after you, the enemy will try to raise up and resurrect that you have been delivered from. Now, I was never haunted by a Jezebel spirit. Because, see, I didn't know what it was. It was on my family line, but I didn't know what it was. What it was is a strong control spirit. But by the time I got where I was going, it turned out I had a control spirit that was brought on by being raised up in a stressful atmosphere and being afraid of things. And if I didn't control it, it was going to get me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real open door. That's a real open door for Jezebel. But everything that's control is not Jezebel, because every woman that is into control may not be a Jezebel. She may just want to control her environment because she's scared. Now, she can be, and there are facets of Jezebel that you will walk in. But I say to you today, whether it is or whether it isn't, it ain't a good thing. It ain't good. So seek God for all you worth.
Yes.
To get delivered of anything that looked like control.
Because
mm-hmm. if you are operating in control, it means you're not trusting God.
Glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to sit before God and ask Him. Let Him work with you. Let Him deal with you in your private time as to whether or not you really are a Jezebel. I always felt like I wasn't really a Jezebel. Because there was such a passion in my heart to pray for men. Because the more deliverance that I got, the more I found out that if the pastor, if the priest over the house was not in his place, I'm in trouble.
Yes, yes.
Now, if I'm a Jezebel, how do I know that? Why? Do I even care? I have to ask myself that. So I know who I am.
Yeah.
I paid the price.
Yeah, that's it.
And when you pay the price to know who you are, then you can stand and say, not that one. I ain't free. I ain't perfect. But not that one. I want the men of God to rise up.
Amen.
I need them to rise up. I cannot continue to cast out devils out of people if the men of God around me are not risen up and take their place.
Yes.
Because you see, Jezebel can only exist if Ahab is around.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes. We speak of Jezebel. We speak of him time and time again. But they always forget to say that Jezebel is bisexual.
Yes.
And gives less than a flip whether it's a man or a woman
yes.
that they operate in.
Yes.
I have met so many male Jezebels, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
They don't want you to preach. They don't want to pay you the same amount of money that they pay a man.
Yes.
You sweat out your clothes. You got to get your hair done. You got to get your suits clean. And they give you a third of what they give a man.
Yep.
Oh, it's here. I don't know what kind of word y'all looking for, but this is the word that God gave me.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, the kingdom of God is like the song. I need you. You need me. I need to know you're praying for me when I'm in the marketplace and devils and demons are attacking me and coming after my reputation, and I'm moving in to try to get a building that I can bring the saints of God into so they can praise the Lord in the luxury that God wanted us to. Not a big thing, you know, just something nice we can come to. And I'm looking for my prayer covering.
Yes, thank you.
I'm like, why am I under attack?
Uh-huh. That's right.
So we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, when you are not in your place, in this next season, everybody going to know you're not in place. You're not going to be able to hide yourself because you're going to be very naked. You're going to be very, 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 very naked. Because God is after the church. He is after the church.
Right.
Oh, the church. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. The church is at 214 Palmetto. Wake up, everybody. Where's the church? Is it at 214 Palmetto? Somebody tell me that. Oh, so if the church is in me, if the church is in you, if you are the church, Then judgment is starting where?
In the house of God.
In the house of God. You represent the house of God. Judgment is going to start in your house.
Yes.
So you need to get ready for it.
Right.
No sense in preaching nabby-pabby sermons if that ain't what God's telling me. I'm saying get ready, because the kingdom of God taketh the violent, taketh it by force, and the enemy wants you dead.
Right.
So why are we nabby-pabbying around thinking that God is not coming, so I still have time to play? There is no time to play.
Amen.
If you are called to be an intercessor, then you need to be interceding.
Yes.
Right.
The first line of defense within the kingdom of God, whether it's the church house or any place else, is the intercessor.
That's right.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
That's the first line of defense. If you are going to protect the pastor, if you are going to protect the overseer of the house, the first line of defense is the intercessors. I know it sounds crazy, but the second line of defense is your greeters. If your greeters are praying when the little girl comes to the door pregnant the second time out of wedlock, instead of looking at her like, what's she doing here? They embrace her and make sure they pray in tongues to see what a sinner.
Because
if one come to me and I'm the greeter, I'm going to make sure she sits by my sister Carla, because Carla got a love in her heart for women, young women. So I'm going to be on the second line of defense in my position doing what God has called me to do. And I'm going to sit up by Carla. Because see, when I sit up by Carla, because Carla is a part of the kingdom and understands what the kingdom of God is, she's going to already be praying.
Yeah.
And when I sit the young lady next to her, she's going to get to praying. And she's going to say, well, she's sitting next to me, for this ain't happiness chance. God ain't no deja vu God. He's a God of fact and time and putting things where he needs them to be so he can get things done in us that need to be done. So your second line of defense are your greeters. And they're praying. And they know where to sit the people. Your third line of defense is your praise and worship. In the kingdom of God, your third line of defense is your praise and worship. If your praise and worship leader has not heard from God, every song is out of whack.
Glory.
Not a single song will be in whack to what the man or the woman of God is getting ready to preach. There are times when I sit there and I have seen Jane go into the Holy Spirit. And the songs she pull up, the words that come out of those songs, they line up with what is being preached.
Yeah.
She don't just pull up a song because it feel good to her. Whether she was told that or not, that's a kingdom vision.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom vision.
Yeah.
Because now, your intercessors have prayed. They have set the foundation. Your greeters are smiling, and the people like coming to your church, because the greeters let them sit in places where they get fed, and people are sitting next to them, making them feel comfortable. It's all right, baby. One piece of peppermint. It's all right. It's all right.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. As the songs begin to come forth out of the third line of defense, everybody has been in a position to enter into the heavenlies and enter into the Spirit of the living God and to receive what they need to receive. How many of you recognize that even today, as we went into the holies of holies, if our sister Carla had not said a word, that every one of you had an opportunity and an ability to have entered in already to hear what God needed to say to you.
Amen.
What Carla had to say was just a little cherry on ice.
That's it.
Because you had already received, because it had already been open for you to get what God had for you. That was your time. in the Bible in Acts. When you go to Acts and start in Acts, the second chapter. And this ain't what I wrote. You start in Acts, the second chapter. It talks about the pattern of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3 talks about Peter's healing. Acts 4 and 8 talks about the boldness that came upon Peter. Acts 4 talks about Peter and John being arrested. So there comes the accusations that happen when you are moving toward the kingdom of God.
Right.
See, when you move toward the kingdom of God, these are the things that begin to happen. First, the Holy Ghost comes. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. You're happy and everything.
Yes, yes.
And then the kingdom of God comes into you. And you begin to realize that, ooh, I could lay hands on the sick, ooh, and they shall recover. You see it done a few times, you get excited, and a boldness comes upon you. And you start doing like Carla, laying hands on anything. Just believe. I think it's wonderful.
Yes.
We need to have that.
Yes.
Our brothers and sisters in third world countries, they got that. If the wine says, boy, they do it.
Yeah,
they got that thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, bless God. And then this is the key. This is the other key. Acts 4 and 23. That one statement comes out right there. And then it continues on. On one accord. And it continues throughout the book of Acts. On one accord. Everything. See, this is what I'm saying to you is the pattern for the local church.
Yes.
I need you. You need me. We're part of God's body. See, that's what they were saying. That's the pattern of the local church. That's what Jesus was setting up. That's what he was telling us that the kingdom was about. One voice, one heart, and one mind. What's mine is mine. What is mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. And if we share what we have, nobody will be without.
That's it.
If I'm having a party on my side of town, and ain't nobody over there but black folks, but I like you. You're part of my family. I said, come on to my side of town to my party.
Yeah.
I expect you to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't expect that every time I invite you, you busy. Now you put me in a position. The first time it is all right. Second, third, fourth time, I'm beginning to think you're scared to come in my neighborhood. Such bold men and women of God as you are. Cast the devil, are you scared to come in my neighborhood, to my body? Oh, I'm going to need deliverance now because they don't sound like the kingdom of God to me. So now I'm confused. This is the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes.
One heart, one mind. The pattern of the local church. That's how he set it up. Now, what is the purpose of the local church? Ephesians 4, seemed like to me, talks about the purpose. And he gave some. What? Somebody read. I tell you, I got new glasses. Apostles and prophets and teachers. For what? For the what? The perfecting of the saints. And the work of the ministry. That is the purpose of the church. Church, 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 church. Huh. So, pattern, purpose, power. This is a quickie. It's on me, I had to get it out. You need to understand we're where God wants us to be now because we're going to talk about the power of the local church. If the local churches had been teaching all of this time what the Word of God said that they would be teaching, every one of us and our children included would be what? Casting out devils.
Amen.
And we would not be so messed up as we are today.
Yes.
But they drew back.
Yes.
It's a nasty business, casting out devils. It's nasty.
Yes.
And because many do not set it up so that it is a systematic training.
Right.
See, when I was with Eckhart, we did 27 weeks of systematic training.
Yeah.
It was not haphazard. We went from A to Z.
Yeah.
And thank God, after every teaching, there was deliverance. From A to Z. So what is the power of the church? Go to Mark 16. I believe you'll find it there. And somebody read Mark 16. Read 15 through 18. So I can read right in there.
And he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils.
What?
In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
That is the power of the local church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not just at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, but every local church. And if nothing else happens and you get a revelation that you are the local church, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm not preaching that you should not be in a church. I'm not preaching that you cannot or should not be covered. I bind that.
Yes.
You need to be covered.
Yes.
That's why I'm laid out on my face all the time.
Yes.
Praying for the men of God to step up.
Yes.
Step up and be that that God has called them to be.
Yes.
There's no way that you can hit the road running, casting out devils, and not have covering.
Yes. Right. Glory.
You got to have covering.
Yes. Glory.
I don't know about everyone else, but each time I am to come before the people of God and speak, I get a reverential fear. I have to sit sometimes for hours, and other times I'm asking myself days in advance, what do you want them to eat? What do you want for them in this place, in this surrounding? I think to myself, what have I been going through? Does anyone else feel what I feel? Does anyone else see what I'm seeing? Do they recognize the judgment is already in the house of God? And men and women that have been doing things in the dark are now being unclothed and naked. That's why when I started off, I said, be ready to get naked.
Yes.
Be ready to understand the judgment is starting in your house.
Yes.
Get yourselves together. Get before God and find out who you are. Find out your place and what it is that you're supposed to be doing. For a while, I went along with the saying that people have that you aren't supposed to feel anything. Now, this is especially a concern if I consider myself a deliverance worker. I've come to the conclusion that this statement was made by people who are intimidated or had been manipulated by people in their lives and through their own emotions. Say, like a mother crying to get her son to do something, or her husband. Or your girlfriend says, girl, why you crying? Now, see, this is your home girl. A person you think would understand that every now and then there is an emotional upheaval in your life. A birth, a death, a marriage, someone gets sick. Cancer, stroke, a heart attack, or some other disease that's life-threatening. Something hits you and blindsides you. And I believe that even yesterday, Doc was teaching, and someone helped me with this. Where was the scripture, and who was it that said that God had not revealed it to me? the prophet. It hadn't been revealed to him yet.
Yes.
Was that Samuel?
Elijah.
It had not been revealed to him about the Shulamite woman coming when she was saying all is well.
Yes.
God hadn't revealed it to him yet. So there are times that you are going to be blindsided.
Yes.
I don't know where people get the Superwoman thing from. I don't know the Superman thing either. I don't know where it came from. But I tell y'all, I ain't got it. If it hurts,
yes.
It hurts.
Yes, yes, yes.
If I'm confused,
yes.
I'm confused for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, if I stay confused, get me. Throw me down, cast it out.
Yes, yes.
But I get confused sometimes.
Yes.
That's right. I don't understand all this, how everything is okay, all right, 95% of the time. It ain't. Not if you're living here in this body trying to get into the kingdom and trying to understand the things of God.
Amen.
My name is not Jesus.
All right.
He is being perfected and revealed in me. I am not there yet. Sometimes I blow it. How do we deal with these emotional disorders? Are they really a sign of weakness? Are they a sign that you are not delivered yet? What will the pastor think? What will a head deliverance minister at my church think? What will my husband think? My children. These are the people who expect me to be strong and ready to smile my way through every challenge. Well, this is not my world. And I believe that it's time for a new breed of people. One that can be honest. That can be naked and unashamed in front of God.
Yes.
Call a spade a spade.
Yes.
Fearless.
Fearless no matter what. I'm fearless to protect and to tell people that I am, that I am, that I am. I am still in a work's progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though I've been receiving deliverance since 1986. That has helped me get to a place to know who I am.
Yes.
Therefore, I will not allow you to tell me who I am.
Yes.
Because I've been through enough to know who I am.
Yes.
But there are things that sometimes God does not reveal to me.
Yes.
And I can sit down and I can talk with Patty. Patty got a, oh, Patty. Girl, I'm going to have to tell you in private what the Lord told me about you. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm not sure that you're going to like it at all. I'm so serious.
Early in the morning.
I'm telling you, it was an awesome thing. It was something she said in our little congregational meeting a Sunday ago, and I was looking at her, and God dropped that thing right in my spirit, and I'm going to tell her privately because I know it's going to, I really feel it's going to blow a block, rock her world. But it's a good thing.
Mm.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Shall we have time for prayer for Patty?
She's going to need it.
She thing that God gives us for one another, whether it rocks or shocks or whatever, it needs to set us free.
That's it. That's it.
It encourages us.
Yes, and it will.
If you don't have that, then don't say anything.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true.
Really?
That's true, because that's exactly it. Because as a prophet, when you have a word for somebody, it has to do one of those things that Patty just said.
It's going to glorify Jesus.
That's it. That's it. And
bring it on.
Yeah, good. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. We have to understand that when Jesus was here, he was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he wept.
Yes.
He wept over Jerusalem.
Yes.
He wept. So if Jesus can weep, I can weep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So don't always think when you call me that I'm going to be on. Mm-hmm. There are times I'm not going to be on.
Yes.
Because you may have called thinking that I was supposed to tell you something, but maybe you got something you're supposed to tell me.
Yeah, that's good.
See, I don't know if it came from a training when I was with Apostle Eckhart or where it came from. But there's something about me that says that even though though I know who I am, and even though you can run with the horsemen and you can be out there with the C. Peter Wagners and the rest of them, they just men. They get up every morning, they pull on their pants, mm-hmm. and that if I have an opportunity and I see something, I'm going to tell them.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, I got sense enough to know that God is going to be the one to open the door for me to do that if he's the one that's really gave me the word.
That's right.
So there is a protocol.
Yes.
There is a protocol in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And I understand protocol. And that's what we all need to understand. We need to understand protocol as well. Because there are a lot of things that happen within the body of Christ that should not happen. I see stuff with people praying with people on the altar at other churches that I have been in, and it's just like a mass disaster. You have no greeters, you have no workers, they don't know how to line the people up so that the men of God can pray for them, and you can get the people up and get them out of the way so that they can continue praying. It's just a mess, and everybody's sitting there. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So there's no protocol, there's no teaching in the body of Christ about the things that are going to go on. We need more teaching and protocol and etiquette. We need to understand what happens on the altar, when to move, when not to move, when to play, when not to play. And that's all done within the Spirit. And as you get into the Spirit and you begin to read your word and you begin to move, oh, I was so happy. Brother John, what did he say? Oh my goodness, that was such a revelation. I loved it. What did he say, ladies? Logos, rhema.
Yes.
Inner court.
Yes.
The outer court.
Mm-hmm.
The outer court.
Yeah.
What was it? I wrote it down. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I was like, yes, yes, yes. That's it. That's the one. That's the one. When you're standing in the outer court, it's Logos. When you move into the inner court, it's Rhema. When you go into the holiest of holies, there is the oracle. That is the speaking place. That's where God talks to you. That's where we were today when we went into praise and worship, and we entered in and went straight into the oracle, the speaking place where God was speaking to you.
Yes, Lord.
See, that's all a part of the kingdom of God.
Yes, it is.
And that's what Carla was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's right here, right now, in you, in me.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is right here in me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen.
It's in you.
Amen.
When he gave us the Holy Ghost and we were born of God, he expects us to do something too.
Yes.
He done his part.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The biggest thing we can do is
search
in here for him. What is your will concerning me for this day?
Yes.
What
yes.
for this age?
That's
the
right.
thing that God is trying to get to us every once, that he wants us in his kingdom with all his authority and power and wisdom.
Yes.
And we're far from it, some of us.
Yes.
I'm just beginning to come into a wisdom and understanding our place in God.
Yes.
There's nobody going to take your place.
Mm-mm.
You're special.
Yes.
And that's why you receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone sitting here is called for a special high calling of God in Christ.
Yeah.
Take your place as that.
Yes.
Take your place as a helper of Jesus Christ. Because that's what you are. And he's in here just above you, trying to get out. And you can't see nothing but me. And I ain't anything to see. But he is.
Amen.
He's manifestation of power and wisdom and glory. Woo!
Because each time that I've listened to her each time she stood up and she said it, it just rung right in my spirit.
Yes.
And the fact that I have spent so much time in the nursing homes and looking at how the people, our seniors, are being treated
yes.
in these nursing homes to see Sister
yes.
Mildred, I understand that if they cut her loose out there, they'll be messed up.
Yes.
Because
yes.
so, she's going to preach Jesus to
yes.
them. And they need to hear Jesus
yes.
in the nursing home. Before us.
Yes.
But you see, I'm not going to leave here without having a clear understanding.
All
because
right.
she's been telling us for this, I've been here 5 years, she's been talking about the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
She's been preaching the kingdom for 5 years.
Yes.
Okay, now all of a sudden we go, oh, preach the kingdom. We got the kingdom.
Yes.
She's been preaching the kingdom for 5 years that I know about. Someone has to ask me, answer that for me. Because I don't understand. Because, see, I get emotional when somebody starts talking about Jesus.
Yes.
I get emotional when somebody starts telling me about how good he's been to them.
Yes.
And when I have an opportunity to tell you about how good he's been to me, I get excited.
Yes. Yes.
I don't understand. I get excited.
Yes.
It's a real thing. When I spent those 3 years bopping up devils and demons that I had never heard about, and I had been estranged from my family for years, I didn't realize until I came back how God, good God, had been to me to deliver me from the things that he delivered me from until I came back and looked at my family.
Oh, thank you,
oh.
Thank God.
See, were it not for God,
yes.
it's by his grace that I stand here today.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't, it wasn't one of them sugar cream walks. There were a lot of things that happened. A lot of rape, a lot of molestation, a lot of things that happened that could have put me in a position where I wouldn't be here today.
Uh-huh.
So when you try to bottle me up,
yes.
I just seem to ooze out in another direction.
Yes.
Oh.
Glory.
I, for one, am at a loss when I feel confused and I know that my father is in the author of confusion. I stand still and like a child lost on the street corner and the lights are changing and I don't know which way to go. I don't know who to trust. So I cry, Abba, Father, where did I leave you? I need you. I know that you will never leave nor forsake me. So I'm lost and I want to be in your presence. How many of you know when you get out of the presence of God how you feel lost? So I said, just tell me, God. Just show me in your word by a sign where I made the wrong turn and I repent. I turn back and turn away and I move towards you. Oh, God. Oh, I'm so glad to be back in your presence.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to cry. I will not seek deliverance for knowing that I need help and I want to be in the presence of my Father at all times. I will not allow anyone to make me feel like I'm a superwoman. I'm a God-fearing, God-loving woman, and when I need to express myself, I will. I will cry. I will ask questions. I will not be bound by anyone else's insecurities. How about you? It is so hard to believe that most of America is schizophrenic or bipolar because they are not allowed to be who they are. Someone told them not to do this and not to do that. For instance, African American people as slaves had to smile all the time. They could get beat for not smiling and pretending to like whatever anybody said or did to them. It has been ingrained into their very souls. Ah, but do we wear the mask? We wear the mask.
Yes, yes.
And every other minority group
yes.
wears a mask.
Yes.
That was not the intention of God.
Yes.
And as they begin to pull off the mask, as they begin to undress themselves in the body of Christ, as they begin to go after God with all they have, are you ready?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you ready for them?
Yes.
See, because they got a lot to go after God for.
Yes.
They got a lot to be grateful to God for.
Yes.
Because see, now they're learning what it is to be free.
Yes.
Really free.
Yes.
Because how many of you know that even in America today, no matter who you are, no matter what culture you are, they got us bound and blocked up. We ain't free. White folks ain't even free no more. Huh? They tapping your phone now. So where's freedom?
In Jesus.
Freedom is in the side of us. If we don't get to that, come on now. How did and when did Jesus come anyway? Were not the Romans oppressing the people?
Yeah.
It was during a time of oppression. The Romans were oppressing the Jews. And Jesus came to set them free. So now we are people oppressed. He's putting us all on the same level now.
Amen.
He's putting us all on the same level. He's making us naked. Black and white and yellow and green, we all know what it is to be enslaved in just a moment. It's already here. It's already upon us. So I won't have no special testimony in a minute, because we'll all have to share my testimony. God knows how to bring us all on one level. He knows how to get us where we need to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
So he can work with us. So that the kingdom of God can be made manifest.
Glory.
How about you? Are you wearing a mask? Do you pretend to be something that you are not? Do you even know who you are? Do you know your purpose in this world? Have you sought your Father and asked him, what should you be doing? What do I need to accomplish before I come home, Father? Or are we depending on people, places, things, events to determine who we are, how we should react and respond, what we should be doing? There is a kingdom purpose for your life. Had you thought to yourself that if the body of Christ expresses itself honestly and came together and prayed for one another past denomination, past gender, past color, culture, can you imagine the power that would come forth in us, the body of Christ? How about the healings that would come forth? The loss of confusion. The oneness of mind and heart that would be a gift to the lost and a cure for the body. What does Romans 14:17 say? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what do we need to do? I think we all want to be righteous.
Yeah.
I know we can all use some joy.
Yeah.
And I know we can all use the shalom, peace of God. So the word tells us that it's where?
In the Holy Ghost.
It's in the kingdom. It's in the Holy Ghost. And so, where's the Holy Ghost? Is he out here floating around someplace?
No.
He's where?
In me.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. The Holy Ghost is in me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my word. The Holy Ghost is in me. So that means that I have a right to righteousness, peace, and joy. That it's in me. That I need to stir it up. So that I can walk in it. So it can manifest itself in me. So that others can see the kingdom of God in me. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Do you have these things right now? If you don't have them, then you know you need them, right?
Yes.
We need to cry out beyond who is standing next to us, beyond who you think that people think you are, and covet the things of God, his righteousness, his peace, and his joy. Wasn't that what Jesus had? We can be righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. His peace comes because we know who we are in him, that he loves us, he won't let us down. John 15 says, God is his Father, we are his, he is the vine, and we are the branches. We can operate in the kingdom right here on earth. That is what we are supposed to do, if only we would get it. then our deliverances would be for those who are lost.
Yes.
We could hear the voice of the Father and go to the root of their problems. Speak the word for the lost, and a miracle would be followed by belief. A change of heart when they hear the words of God specifically in the Bible for them. See, there would be no need for a sinner's prayer.
Yes. Thank you.
If we all just walked in the righteousness, the peace, the joy, and the Holy Ghost that God gets inside of us, we can look at the lost and we can see what's troubling them and give them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge right in the grocery store, and they look at you. See, right there, that's a miracle. And what did the Bible say? These signs shall follow what? Those that believe. They shall what? Cast out devils. And see, sometimes you can cast out a devil with a word of knowledge. Sometimes you can cast out a devil with a word of wisdom.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't have to barf in the bucket.
Yes.
That's right.
Sometimes the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is so strong in you, when you give it to them, it goes straight to the root. Bam!
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we need to get acquainted with that
one.
Yes.
Right.
By him all things exist.
Yes.
Without him nothing could exist.
That's right.
Because he was before all things. That's what's power and might in every one of us is being born again.
Mm-hmm.
We've been born into that glory.
Yes. Yes.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We're no longer Adam race. We don't know where any part of
that's right. That's right.
That was done away in Christ.
That's right.
And everyone that's coming forth at this hour, this day, should begin to be built upon him in you, the glory of God Almighty God.
To come out. Oh, it don't feel so good when God is doing it, but when it
Confusion.
Jesus' name. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. I come against spirits of ignorance. Spirits of ignorance that come down on the family line, causing us not to be able to understand and comprehend. I break and bind you now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of mind control, end time mind control, I break and bind your power now in the name of Jesus. Move out of the hearts and the minds and the will and the emotions of the women of God now in the name of Jesus. Come out of the lower back in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. For the kingdom of God has come and the violence taken is by force. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the liberty and the freedom that the women of God walk in. I thank you for the gifts and the calling of God upon their life, oh God. I thank you that you walk with them, God, that they know your voice, God, and no other voice shall they follow. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I bind and rebuke every spirit that would attempt to distort, disturb, or disintegrate the development of any personality, the personality of the women of God in the name of Jesus. We break all curses of schizophrenia and double-mindedness on the family in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the spirit of double-mindedness in the name of Jesus. We bind, I bind and take authority over the strong men of rejection and rebellion and separate them in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind and cast out all spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, and self-rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast out all spirits of lust, fantasy lust, harlotry, and perverseness in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast out all spirits of insecurity and inferiority in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast out all spirits of self-accusation and compulsive confession in the name of Jesus. Manifest and go now in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out in Jesus' name. I bind and cast out all spirits of fear of judgment, self-pity, false compassion, and false responsibility in the name of Jesus. Come off of the shoulders. Come off of the backs. Come off of the legs of the women. All false responsibility spirits. It's not your job. It belongs to somebody else. Roll it over on Jesus. Get yourself out of the mix in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. Move, 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 you devils. In Jesus' name. I bind and cast out all spirits of depression, despondency, despair, discouragement, and hopelessness in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I bind and cast out all spirits of guilt, shame, and condemnation, and unworthiness in the name of Jesus. Go. Go, devils, go. You will not hold on to anything. There's no communication. No communication in the name of Jesus between you and the demons that are here. We cut you off from the second heavenlies in the name of Jesus. We bind and loose confusion in Satan's camp. We bind the strong man now in the name of Jesus, and we attack your camp from our position in the third heavenlies with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the deliverer. I decrease continually that the Holy Ghost may rise and call out those things that the women of God need to be free from. In Jesus' name, manifest and go, devils. I bind and cast out all spirits of unfairness, withdrawal, pouting, unreality, fantasy, daydreaming, and vivid imagination. in the name of Jesus. Vivid imagination. They did this to me. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to show them. I'll teach them what they next time they do this to me. I bind and break that now in Jesus' name. Vengeance is the Lord. Vengeance is the Lord. Manifest yourself and go. Manifest yourself and go. Manifest yourself and go. I bind and cast out all spirits of self-awareness and timidity in the name of Jesus. Spirits of timidity that will not allow them to walk in the courage and the faith that God has given them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Manifest yourself and go now. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Come off the heads. Come out of the temples. Right now. I decree all mind control headaches. I break your power over the women of God now. In the name of Jesus. I come against those mind control headaches now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. It's the blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus is applied now. In the name of Jesus. Loose the women of God and let them go. Migraine headaches. I curse you at the root. In the name of Jesus. I decree that the blood vessels will open up and the blood shall flow freely to the brain. In the name of Jesus. You devils go now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the name of the Lord. 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 Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for the work that you're doing in these, your women of God. We thank you that these women are powerful women of God. We thank you, Father God, and we bind and break every curse of witchcraft that is operating on their lives and in their lives in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of Jezebel and the spoken word Jezebel over them now in the name of Jesus. We break the spirits of manipulation and control that came in when they were just little girls and they learned how to manipulate and control. We bind and break that now in Jesus' name. We come against that spirit of arrested development. Arrested development. Always acting like a little girl. Always making childish, immature decisions in certain areas of their life. God, reveal it to them now in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit now and we loose a spirit of maturity. A spirit of maturity right now in Jesus' name. A spirit of maturity. A spirit of maturity now in the powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for this time together. We give you praise and glory and honor. We worship you, God. We thank you, Father God, for your revelation, your increasing manifestation of the revelation of who you are. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that we shall continue to receive, oh God, for the rest of this camp meeting and beyond. That God, that every time you give a revelation, there is a change in our lives. And God, we will not be afraid of the change. We bind fear of change in the name of Jesus and curse it at the root in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. God, we praise you. We bind backlash and retaliation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, oh God, that this is the first day of our day in the kingdom of God, and we shall not take it lightly, but that we shall walk therein and do all that you have called us to do. God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I praise you, oh God. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Jerry, you got anything? Patty? Carla? You got anything? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. I just bless you all right now in the name of Jesus. I bless you coming in and going out. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I bless you that your tents will be expanded. I bless you that your tents will be expanded. I bless you that God will give you witty ideas and witty inventions. And I bless you because I know that as God blesses you, that you will use the blessing to empower the kingdom of God. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.